Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless. Praise our house today. My voice is a bit raspy, a little bit, so bear with my voice today. Thank God I have the mic to help. Today is going to be a supernatural Sunday. That's actually all that I've heard from the Lord. I've been preparing all week for this day. And even now, I don't know the fullness of what is on the heart of God. But when I hear things, I obey. One thing I love to do is to teach the word of God. I love the people of God. And in my time of preparation and prayer and consecration this week, I have my personal study and preparation for the word for Sunday. I have literally two sermons pretty much ready to go, with the exception of a few things the Lord had me to halt on them. And so I got midway through the week, about around Wednesday. Then we got closer to Thursday. And I'm like, what are we doing? What is the word that I'm sharing for Sunday? I said, I got this word you've given me. I'm preparing. He said, don't release it. Wait. I said, okay. I've been here before lots of times with God. It's not the most comfortable for me. As a leader, with everybody looking to you for what's the next step, what's the next direction, where do we go, what do we do, where do we stand, how do we sit, how do we fold our arms, how do we fold our feet. Those days are over. A lot of you in this ministry, I have taught and trained how to hear from God and how to move with him. And even with me present in the room, I am not your conductor. I am not your choir director. I'm a messenger. That's the one thing I heard the Lord say to me, even through Friday, because Friday is a time that him and I sit quite a bit to prepare, and even through Saturday to kind of close the loop on the message. He said, the message is me. And you are the messenger for Sunday. So I don't have a message that's crafted with 3 points, an opening, a closing. Not today. I still don't know why that's happening today. I've seen it happen in other seasons and other places and times. I've seen it, I've experienced it, and I've yielded to it. And so, there's a couple things that I know that I need to share with our congregation, our church, those of you that are online, that are a part of the church, that are e-members, those that are local that may have not made it here today, even the guests, this is something for you as well. But God wants to manifest his presence and his power in this place today.
It's not about me. It's not about honor the mantle. It's not about, well, thank you for your gifts and tithe into me for that. Thank you. It's not about anything but him. And as a fully yielded and submitted vessel unto the Lord, that's what we're going to do today. I will not be doing it alone. I'll be calling some of you up to partner with me to allow God to move here today. There are some things that have happened to me this week that some of you are unaware of. You may even notice my demeanor is different. And it's because I've been on the mountain. I've been on the mountain in the spirit. And I've been having challenges this week, coming up, coming down, coming up, coming down, coming up, and coming down. I've been here before in seasons past. But we just crossed over into a new season. So the shift has shifted. I have shifted. The apostle you knew last Sunday is not the one that's standing before you right now. This morning, as the week has progressed, I have been triggered constantly all through the day, praying in tongues, praying in English, all week long, to where my brain is. I'm a mom. People are asking questions. I have decisions to make. I have things to do. And so I've ascended into a new realm of the glory realm, the Lord told me this morning. Not just me, but the ministry as a whole. But of course, I had to go before, right? Because God has called me to lead the charge for his people for what's coming. I had been expecting a shift in March. And so this morning, as I was praying and ascending in the spirit realm, I saw a lot and a lot happened. It's been a while. I don't know if I'm going to manifest that power or that realm today. But it's not weird. It's not anything. You've seen it before in seasons past. But literally, I just shook. Like my whole body was trembling and shaking. I didn't know if I was going to be able to put makeup on. I said, well, probably let's throw the lashes away. Let me try to just put a little concealer or something on. And as I began to do my makeup, my right hand was this one, was still shaking. But before it was the encounter I was having this morning. I didn't know how long it was going to be. I didn't know if I was going to be late. I didn't know when I would come out. I could barely stand. I was worried about driving. So I'm having a lot of conversation with the Lord this morning. And he balanced it and tempered it. So as I proceeded in the bathroom, I said, it started to stop. And I was like, okay, so it looks like I am going to be able to do a little something with my face. I was okay coming barefaced. I didn't care. And so he gave me a few instructions and a few things concerning yielding and allowing him to move here today. Being the messenger and the mouthpiece for the people in the room. So whatever you're in need of, I'm just going to tell you now. Don't leave here until it breaks or until you get it. Do not waste your drive, your gas, your time, your none of that, because today God is meeting you here. So much so that he asked me to totally, like, almost like I can't speak. Like, there's no message. I just told you. He said, you're the messenger today. You're the messenger. Yield. I'm going to move. And I heard all sorts of things. I heard supernatural Sunday. I heard deliverance. I heard healing. I don't know what's going on with it. He knew who was going to be here before I did. So even the fact that I'm seeing a few faces that I don't even know, I'm like, okay. So he sent you here today to literally have a face-to-face with him, to have an encounter with him. I am just the conduit. I'm the conductor. I am the vessel. I am, and all week I have heavily consecrated, as I often do, but this week was completely different. Completely different. The shift that's taking place, I'm not going back to wherever I was, which wasn't a bad thing. But even this morning, I literally saw ascension in the spirit, and we just kept ascending and ascending and ascending and ascending, like eagles, just ascending and ascending and ascending, going higher and higher and higher and higher. It's interesting to ask God to become a glory carrier. I just got access to a new realm of glory, and it's a place I haven't been yet. So I'm still trying to figure out how to carry what I got right now. But God gave me what I needed. He knew I could carry what I have. And even emptying myself out to consecrate, not knowing what I was consecrating for exactly or to, but just yielding and being obedient to God. This is a meeting place and a place that God not only sent me, but sent you. We are sent ones. This, I told you before, Flawed and Free was not church as usual. So we're called to the peculiar ones, the hungry ones, the burning ones, the sent ones, the consecrated ones, the ready ones, the remnant. We are a part of the remnant generation that's arising in this season. I am a revivalist. I am not just a mother and a wife. I have been called to raise the dead, heal the sick. This is not just for me, it's for you. I have an assignment. I have to carry it out. I have to complete it. I got to make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be so that you can get what you need for him, so he can, you can do what you need to do for him. This is a training and equipping center. This is a place that says, no, we're not playing patty cake with me. We're not playing patty cake with one another. We're not slapping and tapping and running around the room, looking around and still leaving broken, busted and disgusted, looking around. No, we are being intentional, not only with our time in seeking God, but actually having face-to-face encounters with him, that we desire you're to be not only transformed, but transfigured. I am preparing a people to go beyond just changing your mind and repenting, beyond just transforming and renewing your mind, but into a place that you can actually move and carry the glory of God. And that comes with a higher measure and a higher level of consecration and intentionality that is going to carry the glory. This measure of glory, I cannot pour everywhere. It is only for the ones that can hear that still small voice that says, go here, sit here, stand here, come back here. This is not a TikTok live. This ain't a prophesy, sow a seed for your need. How many butts do you have in seats? We are going after the souls of the kingdom. I don't have numbers because my numbers are innumerable, just like the angels that service and partner with us. I had someone ask me the other day, so how many members do you have in your church? I said, I can't count them because it's not my church. It's his church, and we are the church. And I have encountered people all over the world, all over, that have ministered, that are now evangelizing, that are now delivered and set free, that are now building their platforms, that now have ministries, that now are opening their own churches, that are now doing things for the kingdom of God that God actually initially intended and created. This was not to puff us up. This was not to put us on the map, but there are people that we have encountered that have come, that have gone, and even those that are still coming, because I'm an apostle. My job is to equip you, to train you, to deliver, heal, send, help, cover. Not for you to sit in this congregation for 10 years staring at me, not even knowing how to rightly divide the word. Not even knowing how to anoint your home with oil. These are basic things that the church don't even know how to pray. People don't know how to endure in prayer for 1 hour. The mandate that Christ gave his disciples. And he found them asleep. Your assignment and the destiny that you're called to is dormant, stagnant, stuck, hidden because you're asleep. This ain't the stay woke new age generation. I'm coming against the spirit of religion. I'm coming against the slumbering spirit that every time you open your Bible, every time you go to pray, every time you come to a live like this, spiritual things, all of a sudden you sleepy. All of a sudden, you know, you want to take a nap. All of a sudden, but we can Netflix and binge a show and not even blink an eye. Be up all night, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, trying to get to the end of a Netflix series. But we won't wake up at midnight and war in the realms for our destiny. Because what is the enemy doing? While you sleeping, while you slumbering, he's tipping. He's tipping. And he's planting plans against who you are in the kingdom. By the time you even get up to arise, to wake up, to say thank you, God, he has already planted attacks for your day, for your next day, for tomorrow, and the day after that. And you're trying to figure out, why am I stuck in these cycles? Why am I stuck in these patterns? I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm paying my tithes. I wake up and give God praise. But yet I can't seem to move forward and continue to move onward and upward in him. There's a time coming, as I've told you all, God will prepare his people in advance. For those that are true followers of Christ, that can hear, discern, see, move, obey, and follow, he's giving us in the present hour, the blueprints and the plan to help us to prepare for what's coming. If you have an ear to hear, you will be able to discern the time, the season, what to do, where to go, so that you don't get blindsided in these end times. We are presently in the end times. Newsflash, we've been in the end times since the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. It didn't just start today. It actually started 2,000 years ago. The end time started then. And so we see the world getting more and more and more wicked by the day. We see witchcraft being normalized. People ain't hiding it no more. It's just blatant and up and out and open. And every time you scroll on your phone, every time you go into the store, somebody got an evil eye on their necklace. Somebody got an evil eye on their wrist. Somebody talking crazy to you. I'm not a Christian. I don't follow Christianity. I'm spiritual. I'm this, I'm that. Every day. And you can't go to work. You can't go. To the store, you can't, because to be distracted so that they cannot hear who they are in Christ, and they cannot receive the instructions and the downloads that God has for us to clean ourselves up, to prepare ourselves for the second coming of Christ. Oh, they've been saying that God was coming back for years. Oh, they saying this. Oh, we've been saying that. And is. So much so, I've already shared this with my team in the ministry of Flawed and Free. I'm going to share it with those that were sent here today, because it's obviously a word for you too. And for those that are watching online, maybe you're passing through. Maybe you're an e-member of Flawed and Free. On Wednesday of this last week, I was roaring in the spirit realm. Not by myself, corporately, because I had a whole lot of help. And literally, as I ascended in the realm of the spirit, I could hear and see the lion of the tribe of Judah. I could hear the roar of the lions. I could see the eagles soaring and the lions roaring. I could see it. And I'm praying and I'm pushing through. But prior to Wednesday, we've seen a lot of witches coming out to the ministry, moving around in the region, and all sorts of things. So God was giving instructions as to how to strategize through the spiritual warfare to dethrone the dragons and the serpents and the things that we were seeing by the Spirit, and how to move about and to carry out what we needed to completion. And so I went into the Spirit at midnight, close to midnight, contacted some of the prophetic council of the ministry. As they were contacting me, giving me intel, I'm getting intel, and everybody didn't get on this assignment, but for the ones that the Lord showed, that could see, that was on call, we went up in the spirit. For myself, it was the bloodiest battle of warfare I have ever been a part of. For me. And I've been doing this thing for a minute now, since 2018. I done been in some battles in the spirit, and won them all because it was Christ Jesus who won it, right? And as I'm praying and going in the spirit, literally, I saw a witch hovering over the house. I'm severing cords. I'm issuing judgments and sanctions and different judgments in partnership with the Holy Spirit in the courts of heaven. I literally heard some of the witches say, "She's crazy. She's crazy." Because the warfare was that violent. I was asking God, like, is this okay? Because the last time I recall experiencing that type of violence was when it was untempered and it was for the kingdom of darkness before I got saved. And so I got a lot more refined and tempered over time. And God helped me to strategize. Everything's not, you know, hollering, screaming, and kicking down doors. Everything's not that. But the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And because we're actually in some territorial warfare right now, that's why we're in Wiley. I didn't choose to be here. I was sent here. And we got another assignment next week. God has already spiritually mapped our movement, just like he did the disciples and the apostles, right? He said, go into Jerusalem, go into Judea, go into Samaria, and to the outermost parts of the earth. Carry my gospel. That's what he did here. We're not doing this just because we want to do it. We're not just in this region because we're just here. We've been fighting ghouls and goblins and monsters and beasts and dragons and serpents just because we're here right now. Whether nobody showed up in this room or not, it didn't matter. This is still the assignment. As apostolically, I've traveled, I've flown to Hollywood, I've been to Galveston on a specific assignment in the water realms. God sent me into the water physically. In Galveston, Texas, I'm coming against witchcraft, Mardi Gras, all sorts of Louisiana. I'm physically in the water. God said, this is your prayer closet this week. I said, oh, okay. Now, I happen to like the water. Galveston's water ain't that nice. It ain't that great. I'm from Florida. I'm used to the blue, you know, kind you can snorkel in. Ain't no snorkeling over there. He sent me out. Look, thank God I can swim. And I'm out there day after day coming against the marine kingdom and the water realms. And even Wednesday, that was part of my assignment on Wednesday morning. To come against the marine kingdom, because this dragon spirit, he got to die. Him, his friends, and everybody else. And so as an apostolic principality, that's what apostles are. We are godly principalities. But outside of that, there's a measure of authority that everyone in this room has assigned to them, just like I'm explaining to you, that there is a place for you in the realms. There's a position for you in prayer, in intercession. And it does not matter how many people are watching your TikTok, your YouTube, you do not measure or make that your metric of success based on the algorithm and trends and norms, and based on what the business coaches told you and the receipts they gave you and all of that, because your riches and rewards are not here, they're in heaven. And everything that manifests in the earth first exists in the realm of the spirit. This is why the enemy is after your dream life, because he knows that he can illegally but legally stop, hinder, delay, and push back the plans that God has for you by inserting and injecting and infiltrating your dream life. And now you're like waking up like, I don't remember this dream. I've never had a dream. I can't remember the last time I had a dream, because then he covers it up so that you cannot war. And so I've taught the people of this ministry, and I will continue to teach the people, when you awaken and arise from a dream, godly or ungodly, we don't interpret dreams from the devil. There's only three things that the enemy is here to do: steal, kill, and destroy. I don't care how many lions and cobras and serpents and bears, oh my, that you see. You don't try to figure out what the devil's trying to do in your, he's trying to kill you. That's it. You have a very short window of time when you wake up and you have a demonic dream or something of that sort, because the spirit realm is open. I've heard timelines of 30 minutes. I've heard an hour. I've heard beyond an hour, where you can actually reverse and reject and renounce the plantation, the implantation, the infiltration of that car accident, of that death, of that situation, whatever the enemy is doing, because he knows you have an assignment. So I'm explaining to you some of the assignments that I was on this week, not to boast in myself, not to say, look at me, I have angelic encounters, I have encounters with God, I walk with God, I'm an apostle. At the end of the day, every person that is in this room, whether you're an apostle or prophet in the fivefold, not in the fivefold, it does not matter. You have a position, you have an opportunity, you have authority, you have a place that you're supposed to be, but people are not on their post because they don't even know who they are, let alone who God is or who God is in them, to know where I'm supposed to be, where am I supposed to be standing watch, how to pray, what to say, what to do, where to go. What's my timeline? Where am I supposed to? How, where, when? And we're just aimlessly wandering and going through life distracted with the algorithms and social media and all of the celebrity gossip and even the Epstein files. We didn't need the Epstein files to tell us that there was cannibalism, blood sacrifices, drinkers of blood, eaters of flesh. If you go in the spirit, one day you finna see them. One day you're gonna see. You don't need the Epstein files to open up. All you need is the Holy Spirit himself to reveal to you what, where, and what's going on. Baby, he gonna tell you. He gonna tell you, he gonna show you. And so even with my assignments contending with the realm, so yeah, we see I'm struggling with fornication. I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling. That's the fruit. That's not the root. That's just the fruit of what the enemy has planted against your life. There's an evil altar with your name on it that is cycling through your generation, that is being commanded and operated. There are systems and governmental systems and demonic systems that are all collaborating, co-laboring day after day after day, and you are inheriting the curse of your family and your forefathers, that you now are saying, God, how do I get free from this? How do I do it? You have to begin to pray to intercede. But we don't even taught people how to pray for an hour, let alone a minute, right? The mechanics of prayer, how to pray in faith, how to pray different types of prayers, how to pray warfare prayers, how to pray prayers of supplication, how to pray prayers of thanksgiving. Why? Because the enemy is begging on the fact that you will stay ignorant to his devices. As long as you can remain ignorant, as long as you can be unlearned, as long as you cannot know that there even is an enemy, where most people will say, demons don't exist. Christians can't have demons. Ha, ha, ha. Hoo, hoo, hoo. All lies. How do I know? I don't argue with people that tell me that deliverance ministry shouldn't be this and it shouldn't be that. It's really not the deliverance ministry. Really, that's not it. It's a third of Jesus's ministry. So whether we call this a deliverance ministry or not, we should all be operating, performing, and functioning in the ministry of deliverance. In the ministry of deliverance. So that means every church shouldn't have to have deliverance ministry tacked on it, because every church should be doing it. But every church is not. Matter of fact, most are not. Because even with some of my peers and people I've talked to, they said, well, we pull them in the back. We don't want people manifesting demons. It's scary. We don't want to run people away. We don't want to scare people. Because we're more worried about how many numbers we got in our church membership queue. We're more worried about than we are
Are you getting free? Is God delivering you? Are you being equipped? Are you being trained? Do you have the tools that you need for your assignment? Have you been activated? Are your gifts being stirred? We got a bunch of people that are operating in gifts and a bunch of people over here pimping prophecy, pimping the gifts of God and all of these things to puff themselves up, but not give honor and glory to the God that we serve. I'm more concerned about your soul in this ministry than I am the fact that you got gifts and you can soar in the realms and you can see and you can do this and do that. Everybody in this ministry knows, I don't care how amazing your gift is. I don't care if you sow $1 million a day into this ministry. That don't move me. That don't move me at all. It ain't gonna stop me from showing up in Wiley, Garland, Allen, wherever God send me. I don't care if ain't nobody there. Just like the many assignments I've had in Hollywood and other places, I've helped people in Beyonce's camp dealing with witchcraft. They're like, but you don't see me online saying, look at me, validate me. Look what God has used me to do. Because it's not about me, and I'm here today because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about Florida Free. But it's about the kingdom of God and the souls that are attached to our names and the people that God needs to meet. And some, the reason why we're mobile right now, we left the building we were in. We're mobile because God said, go. But does the Bible not say, go ye therefore and make a hay? Ministry is about discipleship, deliverance, healing, stirring and cultivating the gifts to be used for the kingdom. I don't care if you called to the beauty industry. I don't care if you called to be a teacher. I don't care what you, I don't care. That's not mine. That's between you and God. And so when we yield and allow the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to move, he can move. But the first thing you got to do is get out of his way. See, we so worried about what we wore to church that day. And no offense, daughter, because you're so good at it. What our OOTD, that's not your life because you're rooted in Christ. And God's using it for those that are not. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. Everything we give to God, we give to him first. He gets it first. He has the first fruit of all that we do so that we can be conduits, messengers, sharing the gospel. So many people out here with church hurt. So many people ain't gonna ever touch this door because it's a church in their mind. Oh, I went to this church and this happened and that happened and I just can't go back to the church. Well, you got into it with your boss and your coworker and the girl in the cubicle next to you, but you still got up and went to work and got your paycheck, didn't you? You didn't stop going to go get that check. I'm gonna need you to have the same energy. Cause we're not coming here to click up and just be friends. So as I'm explaining the experience, the encounters, and the assignments, I've shifted. Sorry, but not sorry. Because I have an assignment. And I love all of you. And that doesn't mean I'm leaving. But I can only imagine how the disciples felt when Jesus was preparing them for his exit. Some parts of how I feel is me feeling that preparation. I don't know how long. I know I got at least 5 hubs to put up. I know that. I even know where some of them are supposed to be. And so I can't continue to babysit. Right? I can't. So as I'm ascending and coming up in Christ, not flawed and free, all of you that are attached and in covenant and connected here are going to have to ascend in Christ for who you are and what you're called to be for the kingdom of God. Whether you're called to serve here, be a member here, or just drop through for some healing, delivery, right? That's not my business. My business is my Father's business, and that's all that I care about. If you know anything about me, even in the past, that you know, I said, and I stand on business, and I say every day, when I started this years ago, I said to the Lord, not knowing what I was saying, and I'm feeling it every day, I said to the Lord, I want this ministry that you have given me to steward, that you have given me to manage, to mimic and mirror your ministry in the earth. Why did I say that? It was cute at the time until the persecution came, till they started doing lives on my ministry in Australia, calling me a Gnostic, G-N-O-S-T-I-C. My courts of heaven work, my work in the spirit. So every time people I help, people I deliver, people I literally stab me in the back, even people inside of this ministry betrayed me, talked about me, all of the things, my own children, my ex-husband, everybody that the enemy could possibly use that had any stake to even speak to me, he tested to try to break me down, to try to make me turn, to try to get me to come into an agreement with offense, to try to get me to lead and bleed, to try to get me to give up and quit. So many times I've been at the edge of just giving up, throwing my hands up. I left my 6-figure plus job as a nurse practitioner. I ain't unlearned. I'm not here because I'm trying to make a coin. I am here in obedience, not because I need you to buy me a jet. I am here because God pulled me out, sent me to create safe spaces for the scattered sheep, not knowing how I was going to eat, sleep, nothing. I have not worked my nurse practitioner job in 6 years. My family did not step in and help me with nothing. I had 2 children at the time, single mother. Left my 6-figure plus job to work for $0 and 0 cents. But it's not really $0 and 0 cents. I'm trying to get you to understand layman's terms, right? My reward is in heaven. But it's not just there, it's in the earth. And so I now, every day of my life, I live foot to foot, hand to hand, mouth to mouth, ear to ear with God. Why? Because what else am I going to do? I could go back. I could pick up one of them 4 degrees I got. I can go put my resume back out there after 25 years of experience, all the certifications, all the stuff I got, and I can probably get back on the wagon and make a few dollars. But I would be disobedient to God. What happens to you? What happens to you? What happens to you? What happens to you? Out of order. Trying to pay a bill? Trying to pay rent? Make it make sense. For what? I was miserable anyway. I was miserable. I exchanged purpose for a paycheck. I stepped out on faith. And it gets harder by the day when the enemy's kicking you in the teeth. I've been married. I've been divorced. I just got out of a court custody case. The enemy tried to take my child from me for money. Child support. The stuff I've endured and gone through, many of you would have probably already checked out and threw your hands up. Because the assignment is deep. It is serious. This is serious. And I'm ready to show you how serious it is. Wednesday, in the spirit, contending in the spirit, declaring war against the spirit realm, the water realms, because I'm not just coming after a spirit. I'm coming after the strong man, right? That's my apostolic authority. So you might see a little minion demon, right? But as you're covering, I gotta go and deal with the big boys. I gotta go and destroy and burn up some altars. I got you, right? And these are things that you can also do for your generational bloodline. So I happen to be a first generational chain breaker for my bloodline. Everybody before me in sin ain't trying to do none of this, okay? I might be able to get a few, one or two, do church. But so as a first generation, you gonna get all the uppercuts. You gonna get all the roundabouts. You gonna get all of the bowls in the spirit as a first generation. So my son, my daughter, they're not gonna go through as much as I went through. We had our family prayer on Saturday. My son got filled with the Holy Ghost in my prayer, no, not in the prayer closet, but I had started to train my children first before I came out here trying to train in anybody. I started with my own house. And my son got filled with the Holy Ghost. My daughter got filled first. He wanted it before her. He got filled second. He was like 8, 9. Were you 9? 8, 9. And I used to bring him into the closet, teach him how to pray. His first time ever fasting for 12 hours was 9, 8, 9, around the same time. Yeah. He came to me one day. He said, I want to fast. With me? Yeah, the whole 12 hours, 6 to 6. I said, okay. 5 o'clock, he knocked on my door, weeping. His sister laughs about it today. I laugh a little bit too. Because that boy was on his hands and knees like, what did I do? I'm so hungry. I asked my mama to fast. This thing going to kill me. I said, no, let me show you how to get through it. And I brought him right into my room, right into the closet, and sat him down and said, push through in this hour. Push through in this hour. He got through that hour. He came out that closet. He said, I did it. I did it. I did it. I said, you did. And we were having prayer yesterday, Saturday, for our family prayer. And I'm listening to my son. And he is praying for me. And he is praying for this ministry. And he is praying for himself. And he is praying for his father. And he is praying for his bloodline. And I just cried. And I laid there waiting to pray next. Not even knowing if I was going to be able to pray. Because the prayer was so good. And I said, thank you, God. I didn't have that growing up. My parents are unbelievers or semi-believers. To know that I'm leaving a legacy of intercessors, I have spiritual kids. This one's my oldest one. Some online. My assignment is bigger than me. It's your destiny, your destiny, your destiny, your destiny. All of the people online, all the people that I've helped over the years, all of the people, my own children, that when I take my last breath, will be able to carry the generational legacy that God intended, full of the generational blessings and not curses. It was worth all the sleepless nights. It was worth leaving my job. It was worth not having money. My children have watched me, not knowing where I was going to get my next, not knowing where we would live, not knowing how we would eat, because I now have chosen a life that my family mocked, made fun. Oh, she's a podcaster. Why would she leave her six-figure job? But that was the first set of instructions the Lord gave me. I had no idea I was supposed to have a church. If he'd have told me that now at 6, 7, I probably would have said, heck no. No. So he will give you what you can handle. So at the time, it was a podcast. Oh, they ain't got to see me too? Because I like being behind the scenes, believe it or not. oh, I could just get on this mic and minister the gospel. Anybody got to look at me? Anybody got to say nothing? I could just woo, woo, woo. Okay, God, I'm doing ministry. And that ministry evolved. One of my daughters came from that podcast that's here to this day, Keisha. I probably had barely 60 listens a month. She was one of those listens. She found my podcast. Here's another one, Shamika. She found me through my podcast. DM me on Instagram. I probably had 100 followers, 200 followers. I've been listening to your podcast. I'm like, who is you, sis? Because I ain't got but 60 a month. You one of the 60, I guess. You remember? I just want to know, can you pray for me and my family? Sure. Not knowing that destiny was attached to that connection. She's serving in this ministry now full time. She worked too, but she walked hand in hand with me now. Right? But back then, that was just me being obedient to one set of instructions. That turned into. We got quite a testimony here. Probably everybody in this room. So your obedience is directly correlated to what's next. You might not know your assignment. You might not know the fullness of what God is doing or why he's doing it or why he sent you to my mentorship academy. I think Essence, you found me through deliverance, didn't you? Isaiah Saldivar, right? Yeah. Now she's running the deliverance program that she came into. Destiny. Her mother. I trained her. She delivered her mama. How many years ago was that? 2 years. No, it was longer than that. Your mom's first deliverance. This year will be 3. She takes the gospel into her house. Moms get delivered. Mama here too. Thank you. But to God be the glory. You don't know what your yes is attached to, the why, or what's coming behind it. You cannot afford to just play and flip and flop and just go to the church because it's around the corner from your house. And go just where you want to go. Do what you want to do. All the things. Have the little bit of this. Have a little bit of the world. Have a little bit of God. And think you're going to meet and reach your destiny. It's not going to happen. It's going to require consecration, separation, in order for you to see the elevation. This isn't about carrying power or being so high in the glory and having encounters that we can boast and brag about. This is about God being able to fill us with the oil that shatters strongholds, where demons tremble for real, not because of you, but because of the Christ in you that shines so brightly. They don't even see you. You ain't doing nothing if they see any remnant of you. So as I'm going through this season and shifting, and I'm thinking, God, I didn't got stripped. I didn't went through consecrated season after season, this and that. I've been praying for glory, more glory for years, more glory for years, more glory for years. God, give me more, give me more, give me more. And then I get here and I say, whoa, wait a minute. Be careful what you ask for. I'm shaking uncontrollably in the glory. Because of my daily yes. Sometimes I give him my yes multiple times in a day because the weight of my assignment is so heavy. I feel myself getting weak sometimes halfway through the day with the stuff I've seen and the stuff I've heard. And so for me to even make it through the day to the next day to give a new yes, I'm like midday. I am under the weight of what to do and how to please him. so that I can hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He's not looking for apostle. He's not looking for my mantle. He's not looking for my gifts. He's not looking. He's looking for me as his servant, as his daughter. I don't need to get online every time somebody gets a demon cast out. I don't need to get online every time someone's raised from the dead. I won't. Matter of fact, you probably ain't going to see that kind of thing. We're online because we're a virtual ministry. We started virtual. We went hybrid. And so God told us we're going back into the building. But for now, he said, go. Go. So now we're mobile for a moment. This is not a marketing strategy to get people to come here. This is us going all over the DFW Metroplex and wherever he sends us, even with nobody in the room, preparing the soil. Even if revival don't take place in this building in Wylie, Texas, for 1,000 years, it'll be because we came here today. Because we came here today. Because we set up the altar here today. Glory be to God. Because today, how do you think Abraham's covenant still stands today? You know how many altars they built on their journeys? Israel, Joshua, when they crossed the Jordan, they built an altar. This is an altar that we're building for the Lord. This ain't the conference to get you to get in my funnel, to put some money in my pocket to pay my rent. This is destiny. This is assignment. This is the great commission of Christ. That God said, it's time. And that's why I'm explaining and teaching and training and having Bible study and things. And I'm saying, you have a position in the realm, Alexis. You, I don't know you two. You have a position in the realm of the spirit that desires, that requires your voice. You could come here and hear me. And that works sometime. But everyone in this room has a position in the realms that they are called to roar. That the Lion of Judah should be roaring out of you. And everybody in this room for your assignment. People are dying with legacy in their belly. Dying. With legacy in their belly. The Bible says out of our belly will flow rivers of living waters. I'm trying to activate the rivers of living waters that'll flow out of your belly so that the earth can respond to your position in the realms. Because I can't do it by myself. I can't do it by myself. I was never, none of you were ever intended to do life by yourself. That's what community is about. That's what covenantal assignments are about. That's what covering and spiritual parenting, that's what it's about. These are the Ruth and Naomi experiences. These are the Elijah and the Elisha experiences. This is God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and the Holy Spirit communing, three in one. Community. I just gone. God's got me by myself right now because I just can't with the church right now. I just can't. I'm just gonna stay at home and I'm gonna have Bedside Baptist online because every time I go to church, they want your money. They always asking if I stay in this house, I can escape the giving portion. Ain't nobody gonna ask me for a dime at home. Not knowing that there's something in the belly of your Joseph, of your Joshua. I'm a Joshua. You are either a Joshua or you're following a Joshua into the promised land. It's a part of your journey. It's a part of your process. You may be a Joseph. You may be the one that God is calling to build and to help stockpile, to prepare for the famine. And all the years that your family talked about your faith, all the years they mocked you and left you out, all the years that they thought you was crazy because you were being obedient to God. And when everything hit the fan, who came running up to Joseph? Help us. It was in a famine. Now I'm going to release the word the Lord showed that my ministry knows, but some of y'all don't know. Listen to me. Take out your pens. Take out your pads. Rewatch this on YouTube if you need to. But I am telling you the prophetic word of the Lord. Some of you guys know already, because you guys are very intricate and intimate to this ministry already, or you're a church member. If you're a church member or an e-member online, there may be a few that know that was in that call, and there may be some that don't. If you are, take out a pen, take out a pad. I'm getting ready to tell you what thus saith the Lord. The judgment of God has been deployed, and the verdict has been approved against the Marine Kingdom. The verdict has been approved. I'm going to pause right there real quick, because part of my assignment Wednesday was coming after some dragon spirits. So when I sat with God, partnered in prayer, in this covenantal connection, went in the spirit, I find out once I got up there that there was a whole lot going on. The Lord said, go after the principality in the water, because that's who the dragon's getting their orders from. Me with my good old principality self. Okay, God. If you notice, most people, this isn't a Marine Kingdom teaching, but this is why people struggle with seduction, lust, fornication, adultery, sexual sin, sexual immoralities, perversion, sexual soul ties, all of these things. It is the biggest stronghold in the earth. It's the biggest stronghold. There's not a person that is not dealt or currently dealing with a marine spirit, mermaid spirits, mermans, and spirits of the water realm. There's the earthly realm. There's the water realm. There's the airways, right? There's all sorts of kingdoms. There's the kingdoms of this earth. There's the kingdoms of this world. They're not all the same. And so even when Jesus was tempted on the mount, he even, because the enemy for a time has authority and sanctions over the kingdoms of this world. That's why when he took Christ on the mount, he showed him, I can give this to you. Right? He tempted him. And that is what everyone is being tempted with today. Eve, the serpent. We're still dealing with serpents, scorpions, Luke 10 and 19. God has given us, right, the power, the authority to trample and tread over serpents and scorpions, over all power of the enemy. Right? We to this day are dealing with water spirits. And they strong. The whole gay, lesbian, LGBTQIABC. What you know about me? All of that, marine spirits. So, the queen of the coast, she's not the only. But she's one of the main principalities, and she lives in the water. For real, for real. There's a whole kingdom in the water. A whole kingdom. Demonic kingdom. And they actually live in the water right now. They in there. I mean, you might not be able to put your toe on them, but they in there. And so, the queen of the coast. So, the Lord, I've dealt with her before. Jezebel, Lilith,
Most people scared of Jezebel, like, man. Some of these other ones is ugly. Uglier. But Queen of the Coast, Marine Kingdom, Principality. Next thing I know, we in the court of heaven. For those that say, oh, there's no court of heaven. Lies. I know it. I've been knowing it for years. I got a whole database full of people that we've been there for and through. The judgment of God has been deployed and the verdict has been approved against the Marine Kingdom, the Queen of the Coast, dragon, serpent, and scorpions in the courts. They were physically in the courts. That's not uncommon to see them. They get called into the courts and the judgment is rendered and the verdict goes forth. So God rendered the verdict in prayer against them. And all the wickedness in the air, there's principalities in the air. So all of the wickedness in the air and their governing systems. So the systems came under judgment. The Queen of the Coast, the serpents, the scorpions, everybody in there looking crazy, right? Looking before Yahweh God. And I'm over there like, oh, okay. And so the glory, he says, the glory of the Lord is taking over the firmament. The firmament is in between the heavenly realms, right? So like you got one firmament, then you got the heavenly space, like space, first earth, second heaven, third heaven. And between each is the firmaments. Read your Bible in Genesis and beyond, right? So there are firmaments. And the firmaments actually open and close. So whenever you're under an open heaven, the firmaments have to open too. So when you're ascending into places and realms, and so Christ and God, they live in the third heaven. Most of the spiritual warfare is in the second heaven. So that's where the angels and the demons and all them, they're in the second heaven. The first heaven is pretty much earth. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. We track it, okay? So between the first, the second, and the third, and I've even heard there's more. I've heard there's seven. I don't know about that, to be honest. And I won't teach until I know, no. But I know for a fact there's three. And so with the three, there's a firmament between each one. Firmament, heaven, right? And so when we pray to God and the portals open, that means the firmament's open. And they travel in and out, up and down, in and out, up and down. And so it says the glory of the Lord is taking over the firmament and the water realms. Invisible realms. There's oh God, lots of realms in the spirit. But there are invisible realms that you cannot see. And there's civilization in these realms. But in this prophetic release, it says invisible realms and civilization are also being judged. For they are the root of the foundation that upholds visible empires and kingdoms of this earth. Pay attention. I'm serious. Pay attention. For the Lord has given us the kingdoms of invisible realms that control the physical kingdoms of this world. The invisible realm is run and operated, and partner Satan is in it moving all the time. Right? And that is what controls the physical realm. So when God says, for the Lord has given us the kingdoms of invisible realms that control the physical kingdoms of this world, that's a big deal. He also says, for the hour has come for the establishment of the kingdom of Jesus. The answered prayer has been approved. I was excited. It shall be on earth as it is in heaven. Then he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in the name of Jesus. He continues to reveal and release the word. He says, nations are coming to the house of the Lord. Nations are coming to Jesus. Many will come from different continents and countries. Judgment has come upon the wicked,
and the wicked shall be removed, says the Lord. There has been a reset that has begun. The wicked think they are in control, but the very thing that they have planted and planning to do will turn against them to their destruction. The word continues. They have an agenda, and their weapons will be used against them when deployed to destroy their wicked empires. The wicked shall no more reign. As we continue to roar in the spirit, the wicked is losing their grip and shall no more reign as we ascend, saith the Lord of hosts. The verdict in heaven has been passed. We have maximum authority in the water realms. We have maximum authority in the air. We have maximum authority in the earth and in the field. We are reclaiming this territory. A new civilization is coming. The Lord says, start saving gold and silver. We need to go back to obtaining assets. A-S-S-E-T-S. Currency will be no more. Currency is about to be gone. Currency, as you know it, is about to be depleted. The demonic systems, the educational system, the banking systems, all of them, the religious systems, there already is judgment in heaven, and they're going to all crumble. And we already see some parts of it happening now with the exposure of the Epstein files, with the exposure of these churches and pastors, with the exposure where we see the churches that have Ichabod written over them. God has marked them, and God has marked us. And the people of God, he explained and revealed for those that actually are followers, that are listening, that can hear the still small voice, that are getting the instructions and that obey his commands. Because he said, how do I know who my people are? Because they obey, they follow my commands. So for those, he said very clearly, as he's told me before, and even it's been confirmed through some of my apostolic and prophetic peers, that we, this ministry, me, Apostle Tina, are marked. So God is marking those right now who are hearing, doing, following and obeying. And the reason why he's marking us in the spirit is because just like the blood on the day of Passover, that was a mark. When the death angel was released and the people were saved, that was a mark, the blood of Jesus. So God has marked us for protection, he said, for provision, he said. Protection, provision. One other P. So we're marked. Maybe we ain't scared. He said, buy land. I've been looking for land. That's another conversation. The Lord started to turn me towards this way years ago. I messed around, came back again, whatever. Here we are again. Buy land, start farming, secure food. And he said again, get land. Get land. There is a tribulation coming for 3.5 years up through to the 7 years. After 3.5, it will begin to subside, and then a reset completed in the 7 years. Go buy seeds, more specifically organic seeds. Buy farmland, buy a farm, a house, water. Get your water from the ground. He said, stay off and outside of city limits. Stay off, stay outside of city limits. Why? Because it's going to be shut down. The blackouts we've seen, all the things we've seen, the famine. We have seen and we have received and gathered intel from the Holy Spirit that the famine, we shall see the famine in this time. We'll see it within the next 10 years. And I'm going far beyond the time he gave. But we will see the famine in this lifetime. If you live between now and the next 10 years, you will see the famine. We got a taste of the pandemic and the pestilence of the land, Matthew 24, already with COVID. That was a test. There's another pandemic coming. They're already dealing with the GMOs, tainting the meat, all of this, all of the infectious viruses, the bird flu, this virus, that virus, they already here. It's already coming. We're actually in war right now. The day that I got this word is the same day that Israel, that Iran and Trump went into war. We're in war right now. They declare war. The rumors of war, end time prophecy. All this stuff has to happen before the second coming of Christ. And so the Lord then said, we have just a few years to get this quickly. He said a year or two, no more than three. Did you hear what I said? A year or two, no more than three. Prior to getting this, he told me, giving instructions about the civil unrest and preparing for go bags and things like that to be ready for us to move. Where will the safe houses be? Where will the safe words be? Where were all the things, right? How will we move? So as a ministry, we came together. We had a meeting. We talked about it. And we began to start the work to prepare. This isn't new. God's been talking about this. Even Tanisha said, I remember when we first started hearing about the famine and stockpiling food, all of this and that, that something was coming in 2018. We're now in 2026. And so the Lord is already saying that the time is coming and we have the next couple of years. But before I got this word, the Lord told me that some of what we do that we need to get, we can easily do now under Trump's term. He said by the end of Trump's term, you will have had to have done or is doing a lot of what you need to do. Because after that switch, after the new election comes up in 29, things will shift. He has showed me in the spirit in 2030, things shifting. I still don't know the fullness of what's happening in 2030. I got 2 years. I got 2025 and I got 2030. And I know that there's going to be a major shift happening in the year 2030. That ain't no time for you to be playing patty cake, sitting at home. So the Lord said, prepare for what is coming. Prepare. 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 You know the story of the 10 virgins. Five had their oil ready, five didn't. You better be one of the five that got your oil ready. Because you don't want to be one of the five that do not have your oil ready when the bridegroom comes back. So just so you know, we will not be raptured before what I just told you. Christians will have to live through this. Now, whether I see it, I don't know. Will it be with my son or his children? I don't know. But the rapture is not taking place until we endure this season. As Christians. As believers. And then after the rapture, it's a whole bunch of fool la la after that. But nonetheless, we will see it. The rapture will not come and get us first. We will have to endure some of the calamity and the destructions of the governmental and the demonic systems and structures that God has judged, but he has approved the verdict for the people of God to persevere, to receive provision, just like the children of Israel when they left Egypt. What did they have? They had manna, provision. They had the cloud by day and the fire by night, presence. So we ain't going to go without his presence. We're not going to go without provision because we're marked. So we might be funny right now to online. And we might be funny to people because we're, to them, radical. This is normal. Oh, that's just too much. Oh, you're just doing too much. Oh, that's just too much. Oh, it's too much when there's a blackout and you ain't got no electricity. If you've been in Texas, y'all remember that ice storm we had? We got a glimpse of what it's going to look like when it ain't no food in the store and you ain't got no lights and it's too late then to be like, what I'm going to do? when God is telling the people of God right now what to do. So you already know what we're doing. We're building. We're building. We're building. We're going to be put up. I'm just saying. I don't feel no way if you don't follow me. I'm following Christ. So I don't feel nothing. If you don't like what I got to say, it ain't my word. I just got to be the messenger. That's what I told you when I started. I don't have a message for you to feel good and rub yourself and be like, ooh, hope I make it through the week. You ain't going to make it through the week if you getting bust upside your head by Wednesday. You're not going to make it through the week if you don't have a plan and a strategy given to you by the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to make it through the week. You're going to need a community. Because guess what? There's always a voice that somebody's called. You called to. The children of Israel was Moses. When it wasn't Moses, it was Joshua. And we can go on and on and on, right? But God will send you. Now, whether you reject it, that's on you. I don't feel no type of way when people come and go. God bless you. I feel sad. I grieve. Because I know the enemy's involved a lot of times. And I'm like, oh, Lord. I hope they get it. I hope the Lord send an angel, somebody, and he will. Because that's God. And that's who he is. And he loves his children. Whether they get it here or they don't, whether they decide to lock in or they don't, right? I'm going to lock in. And those that's coming with me, locking in. My hope is that you go in the spirit and he give you something. Tell me. Tell me what he said. Who are we going? We need a red truck, a blue truck, a yellow truck. What did the Lord say? Baby, because I'm listening. I'm listening. Glory be to God. So, there's your word for today.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.